Education for Monday, March 14th, 2005 is in session. We have one modification to our issued agenda, and that is House Bill 2012 will be set over for another time. We will be having a public hearing on House Bill 2622. Mr. Keller, would you give us an overview? Oh, if you must. Public hearing will be open on House Bill 2622.
House Bill 2622 repeals examination requirements that apply to children who are taught by private teacher, parent, or legal guardian. Allows exemptions from compulsory school attendance laws for children taught at direction of parent or legal guardian. Declares an emergency effective July 1, 2005. It does not have a subsequent referral.
Thank you. Okay, we have some people who have signed up to testify today, and we have both for and against, and I see that Representative Boquist is not here, so we will move forward with that. And Mr. Starrett, would you like to? Oh, thank you. Dunnigan, thank you for being here, and anytime you're ready to begin, please.
Thank you. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Edward Dunnigan, and I'm here today on behalf of the Home Education Liberty Project. First of all, we'd like to thank Representative Boquist for introducing this bill at our request. We'd also like to thank you for taking the time to hear it. House Bill 2622 is basically a reintroduction of last session Senate Bill 761, which, as you know, passed both houses with broad bipartisan support. Unfortunately, it was vetoed by the governor. We hope this session he will reconsider his position. House Bill 2622 is a simple recognition of the success of homeschooling. It does nothing more than put homeschoolers on an equal footing with private schools who, as you know, have no government-required testing. We've heard the concerns of those who oppose this bill. Last session, we heard testimony that in the absence of government-ordered testing, homeschooling could be used as a smokescreen for parents who are actually drug dealers. Obviously, we reject this argument. Academic testing has nothing to do with the behavior of parents who are criminal or abusive. The state has various means of determining if a child is being neglected or abused. Academic testing is not one of them. We believe that the successes of homeschool families speak for themselves. It is our position that government testing makes little sense for families who have created course plans that are tailored to their children's individual needs, when those tests are directed to the one-size-fits-all course structure of the public schools. While we understand the concerns that some have about children falling through the cracks, the fact is that is a concern in any academic environment. Before a child faces a particular academic path, they must be fed and clothed. They must be loved and nurtured. They must be kept warm and clean. All of this is far more essential to a child's well-being in the early years of their development than any choice of educational methods. Yet we are assumed to be competent to make decisions for our children that their very lives depend on. We believe we have the same right to make decisions about our children's education that we have to make about their health, their safety, and emotional well-being. Thank you. I'll be happy to take any questions at this time.
Are there any questions for Mr. Dunnigan? Representative Farr.
Mr. Dunnigan, you spoke in regards to required testing and said that public school children are not required to be tested. However, public school children are required to meet benchmarks, and those benchmarks are assessed through testing. As we know, the No Child Left Behind Act requires it. So could you elaborate on that, because I just want to be sure I understand what you were referring to.
I believe what I said was that private school children have no government testing requirements. And
I
we
see.
At Home Education Liberty Project wish homeschoolers to be on a par with private schools.
That answered my question. Thank you.
Any additional question here? Representative March.
Thank you. You're also expanding here that homeschooling will be at the direction of parent or legal guardian rather than actually in the homeschool. Could you maybe elaborate on that aspect of this?
We feel that the parents are the best people suited to choose the academic path for their children. When you say at the home school, by its very nature, the home school is at home. Parents are better able to give individual instruction and attention to each child than in any other type of setting.
Madam Chair, if I may be clarify my question.
Please.
In Section 1, 339.030, Section 1D, it says, children, and we're dropping out, being educated in the children's home. You're saying children being taught by a parent or legal guardian, or at the direction of a parent or legal guardian. So that presumes that the education is not occurring, either it's not homeschooling in that child's home. They're probably being sent somewhere else. And could you maybe elaborate on what you mean by that?
There are certain settings in which schools or in which homeschooled children are sent to other locations. For instance, the formation of a sports team or a chess club. There are times when they receive instructions in things that the parent might not have any knowledge of: music, art, some history. In those situations, those children are sent to another volunteer, perhaps a day to take a museum. You know, to go to a museum or to take a course at a community college, seminars. I mean, you know, when you're homeschooling, the options are endless in how and where your children are educated.
Maybe a comment. The way I read this language is that the child might not be homeschooled at all, but instead sent to somewhere else for all that schooling and not a public or private school. Maybe it's a language problem in the way the bill was drafted.
It could be, Representative, but the best steward of a child's education is a parent, and if a parent feels that they don't have the knowledge or experience to teach a particular course, it is up to that parent to find somebody who can.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Representative Farr.
Well, I just want you to know, first of all, that I'm in favor of homeschool as a choice. I believe that, you know, parents can be great teachers if they're willing to invest the time and energy into it. Generally, homeschooled children test above their current grade level. We know that to be true. Why are you resistant to required assessments?
The required assessment, in our eyes, is A, inappropriate because it is a one-size-fits-all solution. I have two boys myself. This is, you know, certainly anecdotal, but the one boy is very methodical, analytical. The other boy is a physical genius. To sit there and expend to teach them one method of instruction would be counterproductive. The assessments that you state, you yourself have said that, you know, homeschoolers test far and above their grade level, generally speaking. It would be an irrelevant exercise in what? In assessing whether or not they've learned the answers to the test. And we feel that to teach someone to the test is just, that's not education.
Madam Chair, I have a follow-up.
Follow-up.
One of the points that I wanted to make with my comment as well is that some parents are equipped and do work very hard to be sure that their children receive adequate instruction. But a concern that I have is if we don't monitor that instruction, there are parents that do have the best of intentions but are really not able to meet the academic needs of their children. And I think that that's something that we have to bear in mind. We want to be sure that kids do receive proper attention academically.
And your concern is understood, but using the public schools as a monitor or a meter to grade homeschooling is ineffective, because we've seen in the past 2 years, just in the Portland school system, 64% of the children don't meet math minimums. The year before was 80%, so there is improvement, but it's still the majority of children are not meeting those minimums. To say to somebody who is doing an excellent job of educating their children and giving them a superior education that they now have to meter down to this level, it's a waste of our time.
Follow up. Why, if you're so far ahead, why would you be metering down? Your children would already have that knowledge. So the test should be fairly easy for them.
It's a requirement that is unnecessary and intrusive.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions for Mr. Dunnigan? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Randy Harnish, please.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Randy Harnish, and I'm with the Oregon Department of Education. You're receiving now a copy of some written testimony we've provided for you, and to that end, I'd like to just refer and limit my comments to just one specific area of that written testimony. The bolded paragraph towards the end, in our discussions with the Department of Ed and with our ESD partners, who have the responsibility of registering homeschool students, we wanted you to be aware of our concerns, the potential effect that this bill would have on school districts and education service districts' ability to enforce the compulsory education laws. Truancy officers, attendance officers in ESDs and in school districts, if this bill were to become law, would have no legal grounds to enforce the compulsory education or truancy laws if a student or a parent said that they were being homeschooled. And at that point, there would be no way to confirm whether or not, in fact, that was the case. If it was stated as such, it would be. Currently, the law and the registration requirement gives the truancy officer, the police officer, the ability to make a few phone calls and confirm with the education service district whether or not that student is, in fact, a registered homeschooler. If they are a registered homeschooler, that's the end of the story, because registered homeschooling is an exemption to compulsory education laws. Without that registry, we believe that it would be far too easy to merely make the statement that you're being homeschooled, and without a viable way of confirming whether or not that's true, it would have to be taken as such, and there would be no particular way for school districts or ESDs to enforce the truancy laws. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any of your questions.
Mr. Harnish, I haven't read the rest of your testimony, but do focusing on the statement that you just indicated. How big of a truancy problem is currently being monitored by state truant officers?
Well, it really Representative Flores, it really varies from ESD to ESD and from school district to school district. Do we keep numbers on that? Districts, you know, I'm not sure if that's something that I know the ESDs and the districts would keep numbers, and I'm not sure if we receive those numbers. That's something I could find out.
Well, that would be interesting to know, since that's the basis upon which you're making your objection. And again, now, this bill is, as I understand it, a replication of the bill from 2003, which had widespread support in both the House and Senate, but was vetoed by the governor. And then, are you indicating that this is the basis upon which the governor was opposing the bill as well?
I don't know, Representative Flores, what his argument specifically was at that time. We did offer this testimony or similar testimony in 2003.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Harnish? Thank you. And I would look forward to receiving the information on numbers on the truancy. Thank you. Is there anyone else that is interested in providing testimony on House Bill 2622? Okay. Thank you very much. Then we will close the public hearing on House Bill 2622. And there being no further business to come before the committee, we will adjourn.
Thanks.